That's because we only allow the best, the brightest, the most elegant people on our Discord, and you are so not one of them.
That's a total good reminder that we need to kick Paul out right now.
Actually, I was talking about you, Terry. James is welcome anytime.
I was wondering, how did Terry get into it?
At gunpoint. That's all I
wouldn't
want
to be a member of any club that would have me.
Thank you, Groucho.
All right, Carl. Carl Groucho, what's
what's the difference?
Carl, are you thinking Karl Marx said that? I mean, I'm not sure exactly who we're referring to here.
That's a different
Marx.
That's yeah. I think maybe we got off on the wrong foot here. I think maybe there's a problem. That's
just okay. Well, the show has just become
Sister Anya.
Sister,
yeah. They mention her at the start of every race. Anya Marx.
Oh my God! Why did this become death joke central? Fuck.
That was Terry posted that yesterday or today.
This is why we can't have nice shows or good people won't come on our shows. We get other people.
Oh, that's rough.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Deb Robot Society. I am Paul E. Cooley. Joining me today, as always, is Veronica Jaguar and Terry Mixon.
And Sassy.
And our special guest, James S. Wrongway Feldman Pete.
Somebody has to be.
Yeah, we don't have to have guests. I don't know why the hell you're here, but I guess we'll figure it out in a few minutes.
Well, I think when I threatened Terry, that's why he let me on the show.
Wait, are you saying this is blackmail?
Oh.
Well, you see, no. He has these pictures, and there was Mad Dog
Bottles
2020 involved.
It was all those bottles in Vegas.
I have to talk to you about these unauthorized handshake deals. Do we need to make an app for you so you can pull it up no matter how blind, stinking tired you are and go, oh, hit this, and then Paul gets a notification? No, we're interviewing a dog next week. Oh, okay, well, that should be interesting. I wasn't implying you're a dog. That's not what I was implying.
I do have some good-looking dogs.
That's wonderful. Before I dig my own hole any deeper phrasing, I will ask Veronica, what the hell have you been up to? You seem like you're hustling.
I am. I've been busy. Been prepping for the Audiobook Publisher Association's quick pitch so I can meet more producers and casting directors and hopefully get more work and meet new to me people. So that's been fun, trying to write an intro that I can rattle off without rushing through it in 2.5 minutes. So that will be interesting. Writing, recording, delivering projects.
The usual.
The usual, chasing children.
You know, as old as your children are, I don't think you should be chasing them right now. I don't think that's – isn't that something you do when they're toddlers? Don't they, when they get to high school, you stop chasing?
It's less about – okay, so maybe it's not chasing, but it's kind of like dragging. It's the – you didn't set your alarm, so there's that nice soft tap at, hi, boom, wake up, we're leaving in 10 minutes. So that's always fun.
That's just sad.
Set their alarms. At least, and I know better than to throw a cat onto the bed, because if I throw a cat onto the bed, inevitably the cat will get snuggled and will go back to sleep.
These are modern first world problems that I just don't think are problems.
I think you need a pet honey badger.
Why are you stuck on honey badger? Did you watch that damn video before we started the show? Because you were all over it.
Honey badger don't care. Just throw him in the bed. That'll get him out of bed.
All right, we're going to move on to Terry. I think that basically his life is summed up with the cats trying to suffocate him.
That happens on occasion.
It's actually on the bingo card.
Ooh, Chris says you should use ice water.
Then I would have to clean it up, and I don't want to have to dry out a mattress in Florida humidity. I'm better off truly in this day and age, the best way is to threaten pictures and get them when they're asleep and drooling right before they wake up.
Facebook, then, Instagram, yeah. Tag them in that shit.
I'm gonna go ahead and put Williams'
I know
comment
that, I
up
know
here.
Friends. That's just easy.
You know, that seems, this seems a little bit over the top to use a spay bottle that works on cats.
Oh no, a spay bottle? Yeah. Oh god.
I'm thinking this may be a little over the top.
A spay bottle. Can you imagine you could spay a cat just by spraying them? Otherwise, I'm terrified to know what a spay bottle is and what it looks like and what it's used for. I don't want to know. And I'm a horror writer, for Christ's sake. Oh, God. JR's joined us.
Where's that ban button?
It's close. It's close by. Don't worry about it.
As far as me, I have not written Jack all.
But have you read last week? Jack. Never mind. So insert my shocked face.
That's okay. Hello, Julius.
If you're Terry, not the bingo card.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you. So the one thing I did do this week is I made DRS bingo cards. And we have already hit like six things within the first, 4 minutes?
Yeah. You know, you need to, those that may not have seen it, you need to put it in the live channel so that somebody else out there in chat land can keep track of, you know, if there's a bingo.
It's in the general.
All I know is I'm keeping track of cats.
You're gonna
right now, the both versions are in the they're in the general. Also on the Facebook group, and I promise, Julius suffocating or smothering Terry is
on the bingo card. So yes,
on the bingo card. So whoever is currently watching the live show and in the chat, somebody please take ownership of the bingo card and start ticking them off. Because, yeah.
All right, Terry, what you were trying to say before you nearly died, I can't wait to see the hairball you're going to eject later from your esophagus.
You think this is a beard? It's just a hairball that I haven't finished cleaning up.
That's nasty.
Oh, my God. Get some Nature's Miracle for that shit.
I don't even want to know.
Yo, you really don't. You really don't.
No.
There's just been lots of little things going on since the weekend, last weekend. Doctor's visits, getting the treadmill finished assembled, which we did. Just things that interfered with having a good, decent stretch to write. And I said, you know, I don't mind taking a little bit more time. I'll start writing again tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm happy with that.
Tomorrow.
This sounds like a lot of slacking to me.
Sometimes you got to take a break from the writing so that you can get all the things in the regular world done.
I think you have needed this for a while, so I'm actually glad to see that you're taking it. So good for you. Be a slacker.
I like writing every day, and believe me, getting back to the habit of writing every day is going to be a challenge.
It is.
But sometimes you just got to say, okay, I'm going to take a couple of weeks, and I'm going to knock out all these things and not worry about it. But hey, I got the treadmill assembled. It works. I can start using it today. This will be good. So the next time you see me, I'll be in a cast because it like went to 12 miles an hour and threw me off the back.
What I want to see is I want to see Terry on the treadmill and behind him an entire pounce of cats just booking it, you know, right behind him.
They are not allowed in the room with that because I am concerned that they would be injured if somehow one of them was stuck in there and I didn't realize they were in there and got hung up with the treadmill while I was trying to use it. So that is not going to happen. The room is now off limits to them.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough.
Safety first.
Yeah, I really don't have that, but usually shadows kind of will stay the hell away from the treadmill, except when it's not moving, and then I just start it, and it goes zipping across the room, and he loves it.
Well, that'll definitely prevent the tittles thing.
The tittles?
The tittles?
Tittles. Is that your cat? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. What's its name? Tittles. What does Tittles do? She flies across the room and lands in a bucket of water. Does she do it on her own? No. Why fling her? Meow, meow, meow. Monty Python, guys.
What episode is that from?
Oh, I don't read Tittles.
Shit, I'm going to have to look that up now. I'm going to have to look that
up.
But
other than that, life is good. I feel very relaxed having the time off from writing to focus on these other things has been helpful for me.
I'm glad to hear that. James, what do you know? What have you been doing creatively lately, if anything?
Well, let's see. as you guys probably are aware, I started my YouTube channel called Action and Adventure Tips, which is designed to basically get those authors, or content creators actually, not just authors, to get shit right. I'm sorry, can I swear on this? Or
yes, you can.
Okay, get stuff right.
Fuck no, watch your language.
Yeah. So anyhow, that all came about from our conference last year, where I think it was you, Terry, and I were talking with Larry Correa about how people always get things wrong, novice writers, you know, such as he clicked the safety off on a Glock.
Oh, God.
And it's like, yeah, you know, first off, you can't click the safety on or off. And then you'll always have the fans who scream, you know, you idiot, Glocks don't have safeties. It's like, well, yes, they do.
They have the built-in safety with the trigger. So, yeah.
Right.
They do. They just got to do your research if you're going to use that kind of thing.
Exactly. So I've started that whole YouTube channel thing where I try and post at least once a week, but I skipped 1 week because I was a little busy. And actually, I've been busy this week, so I was in the process of this week's video when I came online to start this. Working on my second novel in the second series, the Hayek Chronicles. This one is called Reset. If you read the first one, Openings, it's about how our hero Tim Bowman opens up a portal to a parallel Earth. And then bad stuff happens, and so now they have to reset it, i.e. start all over again. And so now our heroes are on to another parallel Earth. And so this is a continuum. This is actually the prequel series to my Core of Discovery series. So I finally got some writing in. I haven't had a whole lot of time to do it because, A, I'm busy and, you know, with work, and, B, it's salmon season. And salmon season is really important in the Pacific Northwest. So
yeah, I get that.
So that's about it. Other than that, my wife is in Europe for 2 months doing the Camino de Santiago stuff, and just notified me today she has COVID. So I'm like, oh, well, glad you're not at home to spread that. So, oh, that's number 8. I've counted cats.
It's just the same cat has been there 5 times.
Well, I'm just, like I said, you know, the whole thing was how many times they show up, repeat. So, yeah, she's off there, and my youngest is in Europe doing a backpacking trip for a month. And my oldest is somewhere upstairs. She's off work today. She's in EMT. So that's it. Dealing with that and trying to manage 20 acres of property with getting firewood in and all that fun stuff. You know, I don't think that's creative, though. That's just destructive.
William says, Tiddles hid behind the dumpster away from the worst of the firefight. It gave him time to pour the powder and stuff the wadding down the barrel of his Glock. There you go. There you go.
What was it, powder or was it cordite?
Oh, my God. Let's not go down this road. It's too early for that shit.
We don't got no gunpowder. Try stuffing some Tannerite down there.
Tannerite's always fun.
A bingo card is filling up goddamn fast. Because that's very close to what he's about to say next.
Nope, that is not it. It's the same voice, but it's not the same thing.
Because it's inevitable at this point. You started the preamble.
I'm not intentionally going to say it.
It's inevitable.
It only counts if you know you can't go ahead and put your thumb on the scale of the bingo.
No, I'm just saying what I expect to hear. It's inevitable at this point. It's going to happen.
It could happen.
Well, I am. Shit. I dropped 17,000 words of Extinction. Was it a week and a half ago? I begged Terry and V to perform an exorcism or an intervention. They did neither. So I threw away the 17,000 words and rewrote them completely and threw away that entire plot line I created, changed the location, changed the way things are done, simplified this, simplified that. And suddenly I liked it a lot better. And it made more sense. It didn't have some of the problems, some of the got to be fucking kidding me moments that would have to happen. And I got rid of all that bullshit. So now I'm got all that back plus another $3,000. So we're at 94, I think, 94K.
You're almost in the middle of the book.
Oh, shut up. The reason why I have Kima in my name is I have spent the last week and a half researching everything around Terry's wonderful world. And I've planned out a route of destruction that I think is just absolutely fucking glorious to end this book on. So I have loaded the deck. I have got everybody in place. It's almost time to pull the trigger, and I guess the next 10 to 20,000 words will be the end of that. And then I get to go back and write all the shit that I haven't written yet.
But insert big explosions closer. Here.
No, it's more. We'll talk.
Laser beams.
You and I will talk off screen, off voice with all these witnesses. I don't want to do it around V because she has been reading the black.
So are you a plotter or a pantser, Paul?
Yes. Depends on the moment. Okay, V, you want to be included in this discussion? Fine. We'll talk about it. We will talk.
There are very few things where I'm like, oh my gosh, don't tell me how this ends. I don't want spoilers.
Well, this has nothing to do with the ending necessarily. This has to do with another plot line, but we can talk about it. Anyway, the bottom line is there's two plot lines I can still excise. I don't know if I'm going to, because I think I need one of them for the end of the book. But I'll know when I get to the end of the book. So I have a list of questions for myself. Do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need this that I've got to run through once I finish this novel before I even start working on the other pieces of it to slam it together? And I still have to write that prologue, the 20,000-word prologue. What might offend her sensibilities? Oh, my.
What sensibilities?
Yeah, you know, you keep asking, we keep pretending that she's the good one, you know, the good one. Please.
Well, compared to you and Terry, yeah.
Dude, she she's got all sorts of filthy things in her mind.
And you might find out in the after show.
We call for DRS, we call it DRS After Dark for a living. That's all I got to say, for a reason, for a living. Wow.
I told James before we started this, when I told him he was coming on, that in the After Dark show, we were going to be playing some pitch deck and I'd throw in the NC-17 deck. He said, what's that? And I said, you'll find out.
So, patrons and BMAC members, you have something to look forward to, which should be incredibly dangerous.
Volatile. Hmm.
So anyway, okay. I'm trying to get Extinction done by the end of September, all the way through for a first read, and then finish it up in October. And it won't be published until next November. But I want to get it done. I want to get out of my hair. I want to get it to sit. So I'll come back and read it in 3 or 4 months and decide whether or not it's a piece of shit and needs to be wrote down again. So we'll see. But I want to take my time with that book because it is the end of the series. I want to get it right. So I have to listen to you people whine on the comments for the next 1,000 years. Oh, this was a great series till he got to the end. He totally fucked it up. Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. Anyway, that's what's going on with me. There you are. So what the hell are we doing here? We got this Mr. James S. Peek guy. Sci-fi shit. What kind of sci-fi shit?
Well, take a look at it. I mean, here we are in disparate areas of the world. Coming disparate? To you live?
Disparate
is another way of saying it. Remember, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. We don't say things properly all the time.
Okay, I want to point out the irony of Terry correcting somebody else's way of saying a word.
Hey, don't rain on my parade. It's not often I get to correct somebody on their pronunciation.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
English is my second language. Give me a break. So.
What is your first?
Spanish.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was actually raised all over the world, and so when we were in Panama when I was a child, my first language was Spanish, and then when we came back to the U.S. briefly, my grandmother was shocked because, you know, Boston Irish, oh my God, he doesn't speak English! So my parents moved to Germany and put me in German kindergarten. Oh yeah, a great way to learn English. So I didn't actually speak English until I was 5.
Wow. Wow.
So that's nothing. You should have seen it when I tried to tell my dentist one time when I was 12 years old, the word apparatus.
As opposed to apparatus.
As opposed to apparatus. He didn't know what I was talking about. But that's okay. My kids inherited that. One time they were talking about Hemichael jungle psycho cats. I'm like, Hemichael. Homicidal.
Homicidal? No! I always thought Liaison was Liaison for the longest goddamn time. There's probably some some kind of lystexia going on there, but I always in my head heard it as Liason for the longest damn time because I'd never heard it pronounced.
Yeah, if you don't hear it pronounced, how are you supposed to know, especially with the English language? But anyhow, getting back to the sci-fi shit, if you ever saw the movie Outland with Sean Connery?
I did. Huge piece of shit. Love it.
Yeah, but remember, the thing I loved about it was they were doing the talking to each other, and it was all video. And I remember back in that day going, yeah, I don't think that's ever really going to happen.
You mentioned it. That was one of the first movies I can remember that had the whole closed circuit TV thing, open circuit, and basically be able to go back and look at shit.
Yeah.
And rewind stuff. I can't remember anybody doing that before that.
So, anyhow, science fiction shit coming to reality. Just like Heinlein, you know, when somebody's rings somebody up on their phone and they're on the slidewalk and, oh, is that your phone? Yes, pick it up. Oh, hi. And I remember when I was 15-year-old reading that going, yeah, right, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, uh-huh, I know. I know. So but see, here's the thing, though. Where are the flying cars? I was promised flying goddamn cars.
Flying hover cars, too. Where are those?
Now that I'm old enough, I'm thinking, that was the worst fucking idea ever. Please, let's not go there.
Oh, yeah, no, I want cars. That. I want debris raining from the sky constantly.
No. Flying cars, I don't live near a population center. I could care less about flying cars. Couldn't care less about flying cars. But now, having Rosie the robot clean up the house, that, on the other hand, you know, I'm all about that.
Why don't you just teach the damned cats? I mean, if you would just get on board with the genetic testing here, we could figure this out.
Have you ever tried to teach a cat anything?
I taught him where the litter box was. I taught him how to tell me he's out of food.
He decided to use the litter box, not you taught him.
I taught him when I call.
So does mine. He knows his name.
Yeah, mine know that when we call them, that means there's food.
Oh, mine knows he'll get scritches.
Our cats don't let us touch them.
That's something wrong with you, man.
No, they're ferals. We adopted them from the county, so they get to stay in the barn, eat all the mice. They're always, I swear, sometimes we go into that garage and it's an abattoir, blood everywhere.
Oh, God. Murder Mittens has been busy.
Mittens. Oh, I mean, we'll find feathers, squirrel tails.
Voles, oh, yeah, you can find anything. Anything. They just, yeah, they gotta love cats.
All right, James, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your alternate world science fiction?
Alrighty then. So, for those of you who have never heard of me, I write a series called the Core of Discovery series that takes place on parallel worlds of Earth. So, anybody who studies physics understands that concept of parallel worlds. Anybody who writes science fiction, well, we just love it, you know, because it's an escape from reality. And you can make up your own damn world and visit it. And I got sucked into this when I was in my teens reading H. Beam Piper. If anybody's ever read Lord Calvin of Otherwen or his Paratime series, yeah, that really got into me. And I've always been a fan of alternate history. Like, I think it was Harry Harrison's, I forget the name of the title, A Rebel in Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, Harry Turtledove with his series and such like that. And so I used to go on these long walks with my dogs, like 4 miles, you know, and when you're walking, you have a lot of time to think, unlike some people sitting here with his back towards us.
Looking for a book, so I'm listening.
So I came up with this concept about this organization that explores parallel worlds, and I kind of framed it after Lewis and Clark's Core of Discovery expedition. And so what we have is, the first series focuses on a young man named Bill Clark, who joins this organization, the Core of Discovery, that opens portals to parallel Earths where humans don't exist and then explores them to determine whether or not humans exist on the planet or not. And if they do, they shut it down, or if they don't, they open it up for settlement, and they charge a lot of money for it. So they make a lot of money, very capitalistic in that regard. And so he meets a girl, Mary Lewis, you know, and romance ensues. And the first book, unfortunately, ended on a bit of a cliffhanger, which I know you should never do. But the fact of the matter is, I know you guys are like, we do this all the time.
What? sorry.
So
I had a moment.
And yeah, the reason it ended on a total cliffhanger is the fact that the story was just too damn big for one book. So it's two books. It's around 200,000 words or so, a little bit more than that for the two of them combined. And so that's just the first part. And then the next part, the third book actually deals with, oh, by the way, the second part is the follow-up on Shit Happens. So they're trying to get out of shit. The third one is they go into a world where the South legally seceded. So there was no war, Northern aggression or war of rebellion or the Civil War, whatever you want to call it, war of Southern stupidity, however you want to phrase it. Don't snort through the nose.
The Civil War wasn't there. It just didn't happen, is what you're saying.
It never happened. No. And so what you have is a balkanization of North America, United States. And I based a lot of that on my experience having lived in the South in the 70s. So there are some people, it's ironic, I will sometimes read reviews, and there's like, this author has never spent any time in the South. It's like, no, I spent a fair amount of time in the South growing up, and even, you know, as an adult. So, but then again, I also get told I hate the military, I hate police, I hate white people.
Oh, you
know,
I just don't understand. You just hate everybody.
I do. Well, that's true, Terry, but, you know. Not at one time.
I want to say that that's probably right. Do what?
What's
you're equally misanthropic.
There we go. Yes, equal opportunity misanthropia.
That's also a great book.
Island in the Sea of Time. Is that what you're holding up?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's an example of an alternate world stuff. It's very well done.
I can almost see up that man's skirt. What kind of book are you reading?
Actually,
the kind you think.
Conquistador is an actual better one, I thought.
I was looking for that on my shelf. That was my first choice, but I didn't spot it. So I grabbed this instead. Conquistador was definitely a much better one.
Yeah, I love that one. And you know, when I went, and I was in the process of writing my books when that came out. It takes me a long time to finish a book. And I was just like, how can I make mine different? And I think I did. So
I have to tell you that, you know, I like your series, but I like your prequel series better than the main series.
I'm hearing a lot of that. I think a lot of that has to do also with the fact that I'm probably a better writer at this stage, I believe. You know,
I think
the universe
for me,
is already there.
What I believe is the difference is that in the prequel series, the canvas is still wide open. There's still so many things that can be done, whereas in the series, they're already established on the other world.
It's, right.
They're still learning things, but it's not quite the same thing of exploration that you get with the raw exploration in the prequel series.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, here's this organization. I mean, here are these people that all of a sudden wind up in the Pleistocene, but it's not really the Pleistocene. It's now, you know, for those who don't know, the Pleistocene ended with the beginning of the Holocene, and with the beginning of the Holocene, you saw the complete eradication of megafauna around the world. You know, a lot of people ascribe it to overhunting by humans. Not that we're an invasive species or anything. But
no, not at all. We're not a virus or anything.
Actually, it was hilarious. I was in New Zealand, and they're on this major kick to wipe out all invasive species, which, you know, include things like, you know, let's see, possums, cats, ferrets, you know, rabbits. And I'm looking around at all these huge sheep fields and all these population centers going, hey, guys, you know, who's the real invasive species?
Yeah, define invasive species.
So I actually have a short story that I'm working on that I'm almost done on that deals with something similar to that.
Dennis E. Taylor, who did the Babaverse novels, also wrote one called Outland. And it's very similar to yours in that a bunch of students discover a way to create a portal going to an alternate reality. And it's just, the beginning part is raw exploration. And so I love those kind of stories so much.
That was a pretty good story, actually. The issue I had was the protagonist issue on how they were dealing with the man versus man situation. I liked the book for the most part, but I didn't like that part of it.
Yeah, sure. That's valid.
Yeah. So looking forward to reading the second one. Has he come out with the second one
yet? He did. I listened to the audio version of it a couple of months ago.
Okay, I should check it out. So, yeah, the difference, for those who don't know, in his novels, I don't know if it's same in the second book, but in the first book, they could only switch over to one timeline. They couldn't go to multiple timelines.
They've addressed that in the second one.
Okay.
The answer was they found that they had to get to further things. They had to go to World B to be able to get to World C.
Right.
So
okay,
to get
yeah,
further along, they had to go out.
Yeah, and see, in mine, you don't do that. Mine are, as I like to refer to them, as they're time-jumping squirrels. Because, well, you think about it, time branches out constantly. You know, any decision we make sends off a different timeline. So you've got all these timelines going out like branches on a tree. And our explorers are little squirrels hopping from branch to branch.
Okay, I get that.
So,
you sure they can't just be raccoons digging in the trash? Trash pandas?
That would be good. I like trash pandas. They're very good. I actually have one that visits us up here sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, we don't have running water up here, so I have to leave water out for him. He does like popcorn, I discovered, and possums love milk bones, by the way.
Really? Huh. I'll have to remember that.
Oh, yeah. We feed Percy milk bones all the time.
Chris
Percy
asked
is
if
our local possum.
Chris wants to know if it has the same kind of humor as in the Bobiverse books, and I'd have to say no, it does not.
No.
It's kind of humorous, but it's not nearly the same kind of humor.
No, but Bobiverse is almost slapstick humor, I think.
Yeah.
In places, yeah. And it's first-person narrated. It's supposed to be that way.
Right.
Because that series is all about balancing the drama versus the humor of it, in my mind.
Mine has more dry humor, I would say. It's kind of my humor. Oh, sorry. Terry, we're supposed to insult you more?
Apparently.
You need to ignore most of things that JR... Actually, about 100% of what JR says you need to ignore. It's just the way we roll on this show.
Basically, if he gives you some kind of advice, you should be very skeptical.
So if he says that you're a good writer, I should be very skeptical.
You should be.
Okay.
That's a reason like right writing, there to so. Doubt me, right there.
I doubt Terry enormously.
That's not a good reason.
No, it's really not. So what is it about alternate worlds? Is it just because we can go and weird the familiar? It's answering the what ifs.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Who's Robert Conroy? I don't know if you've read any of his alternative histories, but that to me it's a combination of alternative history and parallel worlds, and you're adding them in, and it just to me it's fascinating. You know, the ability to actually say, what if Japan never attacked the United States in World War II? Or what if Hitler said, you didn't have the Axis in place so that Hitler never declared war on the United States in World War II? You know, where would Great Britain be? And this is actually, there you go. That's a good book. Excellent book. Here, matter of fact, do I have any of mine around?
I knew I had it over there. I just didn't find it right off the bat.
There you go. Self-plug. I don't know if you guys can see this.
Now we can see it, yes.
Yay me. All right, so this is...
You're going to have that next book ready by Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, like I said, business has been extremely busy. For those who don't know, I'm a financial crime investigator or a financial investigator / forensic accountant.
And, CSI, forensic accounting.
I think more along the lines of, you know, the accountant.
Oh.
You're going to shoot up people like that? I see.
Well, you see this diploma? Let's see, this one right here? That's a little certificate I got for hitting a target at 1,200 yards. So, yeah. And for anybody who does shooting, they know that that's a distance. So, yeah, I'm about 25,000 words into Reset right now. It's... I already know what I want to say. It's just having the damn time to sit down and do it. And with my wife in Spain, I think I'm going to have time to finally wrap things up. So hopefully it'll be done by Vegas. It's definitely going to be done by the end of the year, though. So
I've got to say that remembering Conquistador, the ending was hilarious. For me personally, I thought it could not have been better.
Oh, that was a very good ending.
Remember how it ended?
Oh, yeah, when they open it up and there's a saber-toothed tiger right there.
Uh-huh. And so the guy that was kidnapped and not able to go home gets the final laugh of them. Everybody is now in the same boat.
Yep.
Matt says, does that view of Terry's rear count for the butts entry on the bingo card, or do we need Antoine for it to really count?
You need Antoine for that to really count.
That said.
I presume Antoine being a cat.
No,
he's Chris, one of the guys in chat.
Chris says, was it at all inspired by Sliders?
No, actually, it was not. And I know what Sliders is. I enjoyed watching it. This is all inspired from reading H.B. Piper and Harry Harrison when I was a teenager. Literally. I mean, Lord Kelvin of Otherwen. And, well, as Terry knows, I have a rather large collection of H.B. Piper books. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I think I have every one of them, and some of them are even first edition. So, yeah, a lot of it was the paratime and things like that. But I've always been fascinated with alternative history, you know, it's because, and parallel worlds, just because the possibilities of writing are there. I mean, literally, the way you can change history with just a simple thing happening. I mean, how many, if you think about it, do we really live on just one plane here on Earth? And I don't know that we actually do, because there are some events that you just can't quite explain. Let's see. When I was 5 years old, for example, I remember I was chasing my dog in Germany, and I was holding this little rubber knife. I don't know why I was holding a rubber knife chasing my dog, just one of those weird shit things kids do. And then the knife was no longer there. And it's not like I dropped the knife. It just ceased being there, and I'm just like, what the hell just happened? Of course, I didn't use that phraseology. As a five-year-old, you don't quite understand those words like hell. So, and just a whole bunch of other things that you might see as unexplainable, but explainable if you look at it as somebody popping into and out of a parallel universe. So who knows if it's true? It's just one of those weird things. So Sliders was, I saw it a few times. You have to understand one thing is I don't really watch television. I never have. I grew up without television, mainly living overseas. In Germany, of course, we had television, but it was in German. It was never turned on. And when we lived in Liberia, we had television, but it was turned on like in the evenings only for maybe an hour or two. And in Laos, of course, you know, no English TV, so I didn't see TV there. So when we get back to the States, I didn't have time for TV, and I still don't do TV. I do movies, lots of movies. I mean, you will hear me quote movies all the bloody time. I mean, my students would come up to my daughter sometime at DigiPen and go, is that quote real from a movie? And my daughter's always like, yeah, my dad watches those stupid movies. So
have you seen the most recent Mission Impossible?
No, I don't think I've ever seen any of them.
Oh, it's good stuff.
I did see Barbie.
The most recent one was excellent.
Barbie was excellent.
Hey, don't knock Barbie. That was a lovely.
I'm not knocking shit. I ain't knocking a damn thing. I haven't seen it. Can't knock it.
It was one of those movies where if you understood the mythos and just the stories around it and the characters, it makes a lot of sense. And if you're the target audience for it, it's fantastic. If you're not the target audience, you may not get anything out of it. And that's okay, because there are plenty of movies out there for which I am not the target audience. I'll be like, no, I am not going to watch True Lies again.
Wait a minute. She didn't like True Lies? Where's the boot button?
True Lies is the bane of my existence.
Why? That is one of the best movies ever made.
I'm curious why.
True Lies.
It is one of those movies that has not aged well. And yeah. So the reason I hate it with a passion is because during my first Thanksgiving break at college, I never went home for Thanksgiving. There are many reasons. But so I'm there, and the mighty Ginger and I, we've been dating since our first year of college. And so we're hanging out, and the only movie that is playing on the college's closed circuit television is True Lies. So that entire weekend, I was inundated with that movie.
There are worse things.
Yeah, the Jamie Lee Curtis part, you know. That's just worth the movie
was
right
she hanging
there.
Hanging and screaming? I mean, that's just awesome.
No. The Jamie Lee Curtis part.
The dancing.
No, it's
the
slow, dance. Too small.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
At that point, I'm just like, really?
You gotta understand, really? Man. I remember all this. She was the scream queen from my youth. I wanted to bust that body before I even knew what that meant.
And again, sometimes movies are made for a certain target audience, and sometimes you're not the target audience.
This is true. This
that
is fair.
One is
this is
not
fair.
Mine.
This is fair.
I did not watch the TV series, Chris. I saw
there,
it was
there
like,
was a TV
no.
series.
Yeah, there was.
There is.
Or is.
I don't know if it was or is. I watched the first episode, and I was like, I don't know. And then it just never came back to it.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I have a big gap in my movie and series watching due to many things like school and job. And thank you, Patrick. Yes, that is one of the better quotes. Also that, I mean, the other thing is in True Lies, Alicia Dushku is the daughter. And she's a fantastic
That's actress. Right. That's yeah. right. I totally forgot.
She
that.
Had the best facial expression.
She did. She was great. Did
I get muted? Am I still
that,
muted?
That was inadvertent. You're here.
Okay. Yeah. You distracted me by muting me, so now I'm trying to think of what I was saying. Oh, her facial expression when her father shows up in the jump jet. And it's just like, it's the best thing I've seen on television ever. It's just like, what the hell am I seeing?
Yeah. So, but like, right now I'm catching up on my Star Trek because I never actually saw DS9. So I am catching up by watching DS9 from, first season all the way through. And the Mighty Ginger is currently like, why are you watching that trash? It's terrible. I can't Ooh. Believe it. That's Ooh. The one you can like leave behind and not watch. And I'm like,
you actually, Voyager is the
Let
one you
have
can.
My series.
Voyager, you can leave behind. DS9 is actually
you
pretty good.
Shut your mouth! I love Voyager.
I actually liked Voyager as well. I knew that you liked Voyager because you said
Voyager
that.
Was the one that got like my kids hooked because we watched Voyager as a family all the way through.
I've watched them all, and I didn't. I liked them all. You can leave Discovery behind. It was not that good.
Did I watch Discovery?
See, I've never seen any of these series.
That's the thing. It's what you grew up reading and what you enjoy. I grew up.
Strange New Worlds is amazing.
So good.
So good.
It's so good.
Well, part of the reason
is good stuff.
Part of the reason we don't have television is that when my oldest was 10 years old, she had a temper tantrum in front of mom, never in front of me. I wonder why. And threatened to push the TV off the stand if she didn't get her way. And we're talking, you know, those big old Trinitron boxes. You guys remember those things?
Mm-hmm.
And so my
Terry
wife
Price
said,
still has one.
Yeah, probably. Still my wife's it. Like, you better not. And so she did. And I came home and there's this honking big TV on the carpet. And I picked it up and turned it on and we had a snow pattern. And I looked and I saw, the cable's been pulled out. So I plugged the cable back in. Yep, that's number 12, 13. Yes, I have county cats. So I unplugged the cable and I went upstairs and I said, you broke the TV. It's going to cost $150. You going to pay up now or what? 10 years old. I said, okay, as soon as you give us the money, we'll fix the TV. Never got the money. So I canceled the cable the next day. And, you know, she's now 27 and just last year found out what I did.
We had no TV all that time because of that.
It's like, hey, consequences have actions. We actually do have a television, but we live on top of a mountain, you know, like 40 miles away from Seattle. So even if, you know, I tried using the reception thing on the TV, you know, it's like, forget it. And I refuse to pay money to direct TV for anything. So on the other hand, we do have a huge ass DVD collection of around 1,000 DVDs. Because I love watching movies. And one of my favorites, here's a plug, Mr. Right. Sam Rockwell. Anna Kendrick.
Oh.
It is hilarious.
Okay, I like both of them. I'm going to write that down for a...
Is he a robot or something in that one?
No. He's an assassin.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, he...
Thinking of a different movie then.
he had a brain damage, so he thinks that killing is wrong, so he's killing people who hire him to kill people.
How very Dexter.
It's just freaking awesome. And the dance scenes are, you know, the man can dance, that's for damn sure. You know, my wife watches it just so she can watch Sam Rockwell dance, and she's not a Sam Rockwell fan, unlike yours truly. I mean, who can forget him? Hysterical. I mean, Galaxy Quest?
Yes!
I mean, that's, you know, and of course, as President Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the president.
Beezlebrox, something like that?
Zaphod Beeblebrox. Get
Thank
it
you,
right.
Yeah. That was him, and of
deserves
course,
deserves respect and the command of authority.
Mm-hmm. I was going to watch that movie, and then literally in the opening scene, the cable cut out, and I never went back and watched it.
And then, of course, he's also the head of Hammer Industries in the Marvelverse.
Zaphod Beeblebrox is.
He gets around.
Sam Rockwell, yes, his combat toys are not nearly as good as Tony Stark's, and
he gets shown up
in front of the Senate.
Don't all men have two heads? Just asking.
That's for the after show.
Oh, okay. Just asking. Okay.
And there's another mark for your bingo bottle. Card.
Not if there's a spay bottle. I believe that's called neutering, but yeah.
Well, spay or neuter, yeah, you'll figure it out.
I don't even want to know what a neuter, I mean, the spay bottle is scary, but the neuter bottle is even more terrifying.
No, what you need to have is the spay / neuter bottle, where it does both.
I have no response to that whatsoever.
I do. I'm going to figure out if they can be used interchangeably or not.
I'm not sure I want to know.
The bottles or the sprays?
I just want to point out, you're just a bunch of sickos. That's what I want to point out here.
So, before we get too far down the rabbit hole.
What rabbit hole?
I know, it's terrible. What advice would you have for the writers listening here, James, about things that are important for writing alternate history?
First off, sit
alternate
down,
worlds
put your,
or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. First thing is, you got to put your ass in the seat and fingers on the keyboard and write.
That's a given.
Number one. Number two, know your history. If you don't know it, learn it. Because most of what you're going to be writing is going to be based on some history. It doesn't have to be U.S. history. I mean, if you look at what H.B. Piper did, he had the migration that took place from Euro-Asia into North America from across the Bering Strait, as opposed to, I'm talking more advanced, as opposed to what we have, which is just the Asian population that migrated, you know, forming the Native Americans. And he knows this because he studied a lot of history. So study history, study geography, understand the impact that geography has on worlds, on cultures, on society. Matter of fact, I'm actually going to be talking about this at 20 Books Vegas in November, where I'm giving a talk on geography for world building, which I don't know if you guys, Paul, you knew this, but I know Terry does. But I used to be an assistant professor at DigiPen Institute of Technology, which is one of the best game development schools in the world. And it was fun teaching there. I loved the students. And the class I taught was called Geography and Cartography for World Building, which was a way to introduce to the students there how you actually apply geography and map making when you're developing these games, when you're doing any type of content creation. And, you know, DigiPen is just phenomenal school. I love teaching there. The kids are great. It just, unfortunately, wasn't economically viable. Another, is that S.M. Sterling also? Eric Flint. Okay, yeah.
Eric Flint.
Yeah, his 1632 series.
Actually, this is
different.
A different series, and it's the main turning point in here is the president of Texas, before he became that, had been shot by an arrow that screwed him up. William B. Travis?
That's Arrow's Will.
Let me make sure that I'm looking at that right there.
I thought that was the one that starred Andrew Jackson, who
I'll
never
look at this
wanted
here,
a
we're going
federal
ahead.
Bank, which is why he's on
the
$20
so,
bill.
But I will look at this here and see, but a single incident is changed, and it changes how things are leading up toward the War of 1812. And if, I think the lead person in this is Sam Houston.
Okay, I thought for some reason I thought it was about $20 bill, dude. I said his name.
Andrew Jackson.
Thank you, that guy. So yeah, those are the two biggies I would say. And also, you know, if you're going to be applying any technology, meow. Here, I'll throw that in there too. Do we count cat sounds or just visuals?
It's mine. And it actually does talk about Andrew Jackson in this, so maybe it is. It's been a long time since I've read it.
I've never read
it. It's just one single thing that happened, changed history. One event.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how that happens. But yeah, and the third thing I would say is if you're writing about any technology, oh, that's 14, get it right.
Actually, I'm on 15 now.
I only saw 14, but then again.
You were talking in one pass by the camera.
Oh, man. Okay. I missed it. Like I mentioned before, you know, how many times do you see writers talking about clicking the safety off on a Glock? And any of you listeners who are writers that write any thriller, you know that Glocks don't have safeties that you can click on and off. Or as Larry Correa pointed out, you don't smell cordite nowadays. You smell propellant. Because cordite hasn't been, manufactured since the 1940s, and it came about in the 1800s.
But I've seen it used for fucking ever in all the action adventure thrillers I read in the 80s and 90s. It was all about the stench of cordite.
Get your damn technology right.
Fuck
is what I'm trying to tell people.
Rick says we have achieved bingo. So I don't know if this is the case, but he claims that we have done so.
That is terrifying. That is really terrifying.
So, anyhow, those are the three big ones. You know your history, know your geography, and know your technology. And if you're writing about other cultures, make sure that you also try and incorporate how they communicate. One thing I hate is when I'm reading a book written by a Brit, and they bring in an American, and the American is talking like a Brit. We don't talk like Brits. I mean, how many times do you say, well, he's a really keen individual? No, we will say he's a sharp guy. You know, we're not going to say he's keen. Even back in the 40s, they didn't say keen. You know, they would have said swell. So you have to understand that, you know, humans have slang that they use, and even though we may speak the same language, it's not the same. For I spent 6 weeks in New Zealand, and it was always fun trying to figure out what some of these Kiwis were saying. No worries, things like that. I mean, we don't say no worries, but if you go to New Zealand, instead of saying,
I do.
Really, do you say it constantly though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's not something you hear up here.
I picked it up from Paul.
Probably did. I have been exposed to an inordinate amount of British television and movies over time, and I picked up. Plus, I worked with people from all over the world for years, so I picked up a lot of slang and can't get rid of it. It's just like cheers. That's my default. It's not goodbye or thanks or anything else. It's cheers. It's just how I've decided to mold things in now. But I do think you're right about that. You're gonna have some differences depending on where the civilization is and especially what time frame. Mm-hmm. Victorian slang is going to be radically different if your character is American West, versus Victorian British. Even though they're both taking place in the same time period, the phraseology and everything else is going to be so radically different.
And the social class.
Yeah, that's going to be everything. Like if you've got a tough British aristocrat, he's usually broke. They're going to look down on the person and basically say, well, you should be addressing me by my title. And the Western guy would be like, asshole. it's basically one of those kind of situations. And if you add that kind of stuff and weave it into your writing, then it's going to make the characters just really jump off the page. And it gives you so much more to work with as far as the friction that these people have or the misunderstandings that can go on.
there are certain cultures who we nod yes, we nod like this for yes, and we shake our heads for no. And there are other cultures where it's exactly the opposite. And if you don't understand that and you're having a conversation with somebody from that culture, bad things are going to happen because everybody's misunderstanding what everybody is saying. So well, I would imagine that's a big problem.
Actually, I used to have a guest speaker in my class, Kate Edwards, who runs a company called Geography. And her job is actually to go to video game companies and help them make sure that when they're creating a video game for worldwide distribution, that they're culturalizing it, making it specific to a culture. You know, there are many things that I could point out, you know, which I do in my class, such as if you hand something to an Arab with your left hand.
Trouble.
Bozo, no, no. Do you, you know.
You shit in your showing, left hand, you shake with your right.
Yeah. Showing somebody the soles of your feet. That's a huge insult in some countries. I have a scar on my forehead. Yeah. Well, I have a scar on my forehead from where I got whacked in the head with a shoe one time because I was hanging out with a buddy who did something stupid and I wound up being the victim of it like at 17 years old. So I've done a lot of weird stuff growing up.
Apparently but yeah, I mean, you have.
Yes, yes, I have. And that's why I run action and adventure tips because I am really knowledgeable on a shitload of stuff, but clueless on cultural stuff. So, but one other thing that I would recommend on writing, make your protagonist real. I don't know how many books I've read where the protagonist is a cardboard cutout. And usually it's related to, let's say you're reading some Civil War or post-apocalyptic thing. It's always like Hillary Clinton as some sort of a cardboard cutout antagonist. My antagonist in my third novel, Explorer, people are like, we want to see a series about this guy. You know, that says something, you know, and he's actually in the fourth book that I'm pulling out, but I've got another whole set for him. You never know where a book series is going to take you because you may be starting off on one track and then you loop around and then you move on to something else or people really like something. Right now, I've got Reset, which is the sequel to Openings, which is the prequel to the Core of Discovery series, being in the process. I also have a fourth book in the Core of Discovery series that's taking place. That one's going to be fun. And then I have a standalone youth novel with one of the characters from the second novel, Trekker. This is his story. So it's who's that guy? Butterworth, I think, the guy who wrote the Lieutenants and the Core series. You guys ever read any of the historical fiction, World War II stuff?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, he would write these things. W.E.B. Griffin is another word that another name that he used.
We lost V.
We did.
She'd be gone. But that's a he starts off with one character and then gets a couple more, and then next thing you know, you have many more and many more. And so that's what's happening with mine. Okay, back your flip back up to normal. Good.
I was trying to quick do research on the series you mentioned, and I clicked the wrong button on my mouse. And
close the browser.
It was something like that. Either that or Terry and I goofed something.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Brett says, not on my card.
Not on the bingo card. Need new bingo cards.
Third now, version. We'll work on that. Sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I think makes a good story. And then, you know, the parallel worlds, you can have anything happening there. I mean, you can divert from current meteorological stuff or climatic stuff and make it completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, just instead of opening it up to what we have, which is a, you know, what we consider a normal world, even though it's not really normal at this stage, we're possibly in an interglacial period. You know, you could be opening up into a glacial period or maybe going back into more of a Jurassic or Triassic period where it's a lot of tropical stuff. So have fun with it. But always have fun with it. I mean, when I write, I like to have fun. I like to create characters that I think are good characters. Nobody's perfect, of course. I mean, one of the things that I address in my books are PTSD. Terry, you've read it, so you probably remember that part of it.
Yeah.
although I've had some people say, how does he even, he doesn't even address PTSD. Oh, that was a hilarious one. Somebody gave me a really bad review, said it was a far right / libertarian fantasy. And I'm like, do you know the difference? Clearly not. And then he starts talking about that, you know, they don't even deal with anybody having injuries or anything like that. And it's like,
and some, I don't believe another, they read that book.
Well, that's just it. And another reviewer got on there and just hammered them. I thought it was hilarious. So, but yeah, and one of the reasons I deal with PTSD is having been a cop, I had PTSD, and I know a lot of friends who have PTSD. My wife actually has it from the first Gulf War. I mean, it was so severe that when Bush announced we were going into the Gulf during the second war, Operation Iraqi Freedom, she wound up in a fetal position for 3 days. It was not a fun time in our household. And there I am dealing with like a 2-year-old and, you know, yeah, 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. Something like that. So, and fortunately, I don't have PTSD anymore. Ask me how.
How?
Walking.
Brett says maybe we should make a V exclusive card. Maybe we should make a call card, a Terry card, a V card.
It's a lot of work. Better get your shit together, listeners, and get on that.
That's going to be up to you.
We are out of time. Where can we find you, sir?
JamesPete.com is my website. If you can go to Facebook, I'm at James S. Pete. Look for the one with the cover, not my personal one, because I don't accept friend requests from hardly anybody. I did accept it from Terry, though. Maybe I requested it from him. I don't know. And
you should boot me immediately.
Possibly. I'll keep that in the back of the mind here. And my YouTube channel, Action and Adventure Tips. So, and it's just constantly adding new stuff. If you have something that you think that writers should know about but don't, let me know. I'll do a video about it. I'm good with that.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I'm sorry that you know, Terry actually finagled you to get here and then basically berated you for an hour. It's just awful. I wouldn't put up with that, especially the things that happened in the green room. That was just awful.
Well, you know, I've known Terry now for how many years, Terry? Four or five,
something like that.
I expect nothing less.
Exactly. Hey, I'm the guy that last year in Vegas.
Sort of like jock itch. You know, you scratch it, it goes away.
I'm the guy in Vegas last year that went ahead and found somebody had an empty bottle of Mad Dog 2020 sitting outside their room, went and took it to your room, put it outside the door, and took pictures and shared them around.
Yeah, so that's why, and Paul would not help me. He wouldn't tell me what room you guys are staying in.
No, I would not, because I did not want to be on the end of this phrasing, and let's do this. If you have a question or comment about the sheep that appeared in this episode that James is doing awful things to, you can find us at show@deadrobotsociety.com. You can find me on Mastodon at Paul_E_Cooley at VYRSE.social. If you were looking for my bingo card, me on the bingo card, you just found it. Paul fucks up the outro. You can find us on Facebook and listeners of the Dead Robot Society Facebook group, where Terry mangles all the madness. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/DRS podcast to see way too damned many cats and also participate in chat. You can find us there on YouTube/DRS podcast every Saturday at 3 p.m. CST. And if you want to support the show and help us pay the hosting bills and all that kind of nonsense, and also provide kibble for my animals, you can find us at buymeacoffee.com/DRS podcast and patreon.com/DRS podcast, where for as little as $1 a month, you can help us stay on the air. And at the $10 level, you get your name read. And our $10 patrons are Tony L. Joy, Lisa Slack, Isabel Cushy, and Tim Niederreiter. Thank you to all of our patrons for making this show possible. And with that, it's time for us to move on to DRS After Dark.
I used to have that mustache.
You used to have a porn stash?
Oh, big time. Yeah. It's here, hold on a second.
Oh, God. This is definitely going in After Dark.
Let's see.
There we go.
Oh boy! Yeah, actually, that chicka wow wow.
I had to shave it because why?
Oh my god! All right, folks. Thank you for joining us
in your parents' house.
Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. And we'll see you on some of you, the select few, the happy few, the disturbed few at DRS After Dark in just a minute. To be a squire. think that's supposed to be
a square. It's like a squire, but different.
Squire, but different. Squire. Okay. All right. That should. What the hell just happened?
I should have been on Reno 911. Just saying. I like those shorts.